tonight, the deadly shooting rampage both inside and outside that FedEx facility in Indianapolis. At least 8 people killed in a massacre that lasted just 1 to 2 minutes. The suspect, a former employee there, armed with a rifle. Authorities say he drove to the warehouse and immediately began shooting, then shooting and killing himself. What we're learning tonight about the suspect and about his mother's call to police last year. There is also new reporting tonight in the deadly police shooting of a 13-year-old boy in Chicago. The video now showing the boy with a 21-year-old in the minutes before they're confronted by police. The officer yelling to see his hands. Authorities say a still frame of the video shows Adam Toledo holding what appears to be a gun in his right hand before allegedly tossing it, then shot and killed. The video appears to show it all happened in less than a second. The coronavirus here in the U.S., the hotspots emerging, deaths now rising in 27 states. More than 200 million doses of vaccine now administered in a race against the variants. And what the head of the CDC said today about the variants here in the U.S. and how much more transmissible they are. Tonight, the outrage after President Biden appeared to walk back a key promise on allowing refugees into the U.S. The administration deciding not to lift former President Trump's cap on refugees. And then late this afternoon, what appears to be another shift. So Mary Bruce is tracking it all from the White House. The spring snowstorm across parts of the Northeast tonight, several inches of snow knocking down power lines. Overseas tonight, the rare photo of Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip on the eve of his funeral tomorrow morning. Tonight here, what we've now learned, what Prince Philip designed years ago. He said that's how he wanted to be carried to his funeral.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. Tonight, we are learning more about, sadly, the newest mass shooting in America, about the suspect, a former employee who showed up at that FedEx facility in Indianapolis, opening fire, and in just 1 to 2 minutes, taking the lives of 8 people before then shooting and killing himself. Late today, we learned the gunman was a 19-year-old whose mother called police, concerned about him, last year. The shooting began in the parking lot of that FedEx facility. The former worker, armed with a rifle, getting out of his car, firing in the parking lot, killing 4, before going inside, killing 4 more workers, according to authorities. Police found 8 people dead, the gunman as well, at least 5 others injured. Survivors describing the scene of terror, running from the gunfire. About 100 people at the FedEx plant at the time, families waiting at a nearby hotel for word on their loved ones. And just look at the map tonight, just some of the mass shootings in this country in just the past month, from the attacks in Atlanta to the massacre in Boulder. We're now covering Indianapolis tonight. And for the third time in a month, the flag's now lowered at the White House. This evening here, we are also learning that some of the workers at FedEx are not allowed to have their phones during their shift, so they were unable to call loved ones to let them know that they had survived this, simply adding to the horror of it all. ABC's Victor Akendo leads us off tonight from Indianapolis.
Tonight, new details into that deadly shooting at an Indianapolis FedEx facility as we learn a former employee armed with a rifle allegedly opened fire.
They have an active shooter currently at FedEx.
Just after 11 p.m. Thursday, officers responding to reports of shots fired at this operations center, FedEx's second largest hub in the world, roughly 100 workers present at the time.
We heard 3 more shots. And then my buddy Levi saw someone running out of the building.
Police finding 8 killed, 4 outside the building and 4 inside. At least 5 others rushed to the hospital with gunshot wounds, their identities not yet released.
Nobody should die by that. We're here to get a paycheck, but then we can keep on living.
Today, police identifying the suspect, 19-year-old Brandon Scott Hole. FedEx says he was a former employee at that facility, but police still don't have a motive.
Do you know if the suspect had any relationship with anyone inside the FedEx facility? Girlfriend, family member, anything?
No, we don't have any information indicating that right now.
Authorities say he drove to the facility, got out, and started shooting randomly, making his way into the building. The massacre taking just 1 to 2 minutes. Police say he killed himself before officers arrived. Overnight, families gathering at a nearby hotel, anxiously waiting for word on their loved ones. This father, emotional when he learned his son was safe today.
He was in the other building when it happened. I'm so thankful.
FedEx policy does not allow some workers to have phones during their shifts. Many were frustrated this left them unable to let family know they were okay.
They don't know if their loved ones are alive or or hurt or anything because they can't take their phones in there.
Today in a statement, FedEx saying in part, the safety of our team members is our top priority and we are fully cooperating with investigating authorities. Since the deadly shootings at Atlanta area spas in March that left 8 dead, there have been at least 51 mass shootings in the U.S. Mass shootings defined as having a minimum of 4 victims shot or killed, not including the shooter. President Biden ordering all U.S. flags to half staff after the Indianapolis shooting, saying too many Americans are dying every single day from gun violence. It stains our character and pierces the very soul of our nation. We can and must do more to act and to save lives.
And Victor Akendo reporting in tonight from Indianapolis. And Victor, we're also learning at this hour from the FBI that the suspect's mother called police in March of last year to report that he might be a danger to himself.
David, this comes from the FBI. They're assisting local police in the case, saying that the suspect's mom reported he might try to commit suicide by cop. He was held by police. They removed a shotgun from his house and say that gun was not returned to him. David?
Victor Akendo leading us off tonight from Indianapolis. Victor, thank you. There is also new reporting this Friday night in the deadly police shooting of a 13-year-old boy in Chicago. Surveillance video showing the boy with a 21-year-old in the minutes before they're confronted by police. The officer yelling to see his hands. Authorities say a still frame of the video shows Adam Toledo holding what appears to be a gun in his right hand before allegedly tossing it, then shot and killed. And the video appears to show it all happened in less than a second. Here's ABC's Alex Perez tonight.
Tonight, newly released video showing 13-year-old Adam Toledo and 21-year-old Ruben Roman Jr. walking through this Chicago neighborhood about 2:30 in the morning. Surveillance capturing several rounds of gunfire. The pair then seen running away as police respond. In the police body cam video, you can see Officer Eric Stillman chasing the two suspects, pushing one to the ground, running after the other. The officer yelling to see the suspect's hands. Toledo's right hand momentarily out of view as the boy pivots, turns around, and raises both hands.
Hey, show me your hand. Stop it. Stop it.
Officer Stillman fires a single shot. Toledo's hands appear to be empty when he was struck. A freeze frame image shows Toledo holding what appears to be a gun in that right hand. Authorities say it was less than 1 second from when the weapon seems to disappear and when the boy is shot in the chest. This nearby security camera capturing the heart-racing moments before the shooting. The 13-year-old allegedly tossing the handgun behind this wooden fence where it was recovered by police. The firearm seen on the officer's body cam. Stillman, immediately after the shooting, calling for an ambulance and beginning CPR. Appearing to be emotional, later sitting on the ground, another officer consoling him.
I'm Officer Stillman from the Chicago Police Department.
Stillman, seen here in a video for a toy giveaway, joined the force in 2015. He has 3 complaints and 4 use of force reports on his record, but has never been disciplined. The police union lawyer representing Stillman defending his actions, saying he was, quote, left with no other option. But the Toledo family attorney says the video speaks for itself.
If you're shooting an unarmed child with his hands in the air, it is an assassination.
Demonstrators taking to the streets Thursday demanding justice.
And more demonstrations, David, are planned here in Chicago tonight. And city officials are bracing for possibly more through the weekend. In a statement, the 13-year-old's family is calling for people to remain peaceful and nonviolent. David?
All right. Alex Perez reporting from Chicago tonight. Alex, thank you. And next this evening, the coronavirus in this country, the hotspots emerging as the variants spread. Deaths now rising tonight in 27 states. This evening, the race to vaccinate, the race against those variants, and a new milestone. More than 200 million doses now administered. And what the head of the CDC said just today about the variants being seen now in the U.S. and how much more transmissible they are and why these numbers on the rise need to be taken very seriously. Here's Whit Johnson.
Tonight, even as the U.S. reaches that new milestone, 200 million shots into arms.
Just go ahead and relax. Just like that.
The pandemic still raging. Deaths climbing in 27 states, more than half the country. The CDC blaming relaxed mask mandates, indoor dining, and those highly contagious variants.
More than 50 to 70% more transmissible, which makes the race to stop the transmission even more challenging. and threatens to overwhelm our healthcare system again in parts of this country.
More than 73,000 new cases reported in just 24 hours. Michigan now ground zero, hospitals hitting capacity.
You could barely get around the hallways. There were so many people, almost every inch of every hallway, and the emergency departments were full with different stretchers. To me, that was very much like a war zone.
55-year-old John English wasn't able to get the vaccine before he got COVID. He's now hospitalized with a blood clot.
They're giving me medication to break up the blood clot, but my oxygen level keeps on fluctuating enough where I can't stabilize enough to go home yet.
More than 30% of American adults have been fully vaccinated, but the Johnson & Johnson vaccine still on hold as health experts investigate rare blood clots in at least six women. The head of the CDC panel that will make a recommendation cautioning the pause could last weeks.
Is it possible that the extended pause could do more harm than good?
There is always that consideration. We want this to be a pause long enough to get the answer, to come to a conclusion that is reasonably scientifically based, but not long enough so that we can erode confidence in this vaccine.
Well, that is the real worry, this balance between eroding confidence but making sure we know enough about this one-shot vaccine. I know that we've learned another emergency meeting is now planned for next Friday on this Johnson & Johnson vaccine. But as you noted there, Whit, the head of the CDC panel said he doesn't expect a decision by then. So explain the wait, what they're looking for.
David, 3 million people were vaccinated within 3 weeks of that pause on the J&J vaccine, and that's when people can experience these troubling symptoms. Dr. Ramiro tells me it is crucial that they wait to see if there are any more cases so they can properly analyze the benefits and the risks. David?
Whit Johnson tonight. Whit, thank you. And one more note on the virus tonight. From Brazil this evening, they are now losing 3,000 lives every day to the virus. And they're running so low on supplies at hospitals that in some cases they have no sedatives, forced to tie patients to beds after they're intubated to keep them from pulling the tubes out in the effort just to give them oxygen to help them breathe. Here's ABC's Matt Guppin tonight.
Tonight in Brazil, those sprawling field hospitals capturing the country's growing COVID emergency. Death sweeping the country, more people now dying there of COVID than anywhere else in the world. More than 3,000 a day.
The failed response in Brazil has caused a humanitarian catastrophe.
Hundreds of hospitals are short or out of sedatives critical for intubation. And now that image, a patient's hand secured to his hospital bed, Brazilian news outlets reporting that staff are forced to take extreme measures, having to restrain more patients than they typically would. They fear unsupervised patients might rip out those tubes if they regain consciousness because of a lack of sedatives and inadequate number of staff to monitor them. Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, initially shunning both masks and social distancing. Then he got COVID himself. And recently, with the death toll in his country rising, Bolsonaro telling Brazilians to stop whining. And the country's health officials, David, say that the current wave of the virus is the most aggressive yet. And increasingly, it is young people who are falling victim to it, largely, they say, because they're not going to the hospital until it's too late. David.
All right, Matt Guppin tonight. Matt, thank you. Back here at home, an outrage from some Democrats tonight after President Biden appeared to walk back a key promise on allowing refugees into the U.S. The administration deciding not to lift former President Trump's cap on refugees. Then late this afternoon, what appears to be another shift. Here's ABC senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce tonight.
Abandoning a key promise, the Biden administration today announced for now it's keeping in place former President Trump's policy, capping the number of refugees allowed to enter the U.S. each year at 15,000, an historically low number. Biden backtracking after he vowed to admit 62,500 refugees.
Come with me around the world and see people piled up in camps, kids dying, no way out, refugees fleeing from persecution. We, the United States, used to do our part.
The White House today admitting the surge of migrants crossing the Mexican border was a factor in this decision. The pushback, swift and fierce. The International Rescue Committee labeling the move deeply disturbing, noting over 35,000 refugees have already been vetted and cleared for arrival, and over 100,000 are in the pipeline. Late today, under fire, the White House backing down, saying that next month the president will increase the number of refugees admitted. But they concede Biden's promise to admit more than 62,000 is, quote, unlikely.
And Mary Bruce with us tonight from the White House. And Mary, President Biden also meeting late today with the Prime Minister of Japan. We gather discussing, among other things, the threat from China. And we note tonight that the president is also dealing with escalating tensions with Russia. A response from Russia tonight?
David, just yesterday, Biden imposed new sanctions on Russia, and Russia today retaliated, expelling 10 U.S. diplomats. Now, President Biden says he has no interest in getting into an escalation with Russia. In fact, he's still hoping that he and Putin can meet face-to-face later this summer. David.
All right, Mary Bruce with us from the White House again tonight. Thank you, Mary. Overseas tonight and on the eve of the funeral for Britain's Prince Philip, the rare photo tonight of Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip in Scotland. And tonight, what we've learned now about the service the world will be watching tomorrow morning. ABC's James Longman from London.
A nation and a queen prepares to say goodbye. Tonight, the palace releasing this never-before-seen picture of Queen Elizabeth and her prince, the Duke of Edinburgh. And we're learning more about tomorrow's funeral. The queen will pause in her car for a moment of reflection as she passes the coffin of her beloved husband. Prince Charles, Princess Anne and grandsons will follow the casket in procession. It's an image sure to evoke memories of Princess Diana's funeral when Philip supported Princes William and Harry through their grief. But the brothers will not walk together. Between them, a cousin, Peter Phillips.
It's really, I think, quite something that we're not going to see them side by side.
The Queen will sit alone in St George's Chapel. The 30 in attendance, including Her Majesty, will wear masks. Unusually, all royals will be in civilian dress, perhaps to include Prince Harry, who stepped down from royal duties and was stripped of his military titles. But the ceremony and music will celebrate Philip's deep devotion to the military, Queen and country.
So let's get to James Longman with us tonight from Windsor. James, great to have you with us again tonight. The palace trying to keep a focus on Prince Philip, but of course, here in the U.S. and really around the world, a lot of focus on Princes William and Harry. And the question many are probably asking is, why not just walk together to put what we've seen aside?
Well, David, Peter is the eldest grandson, and his mother, Princess Anne, was perhaps the closest to the Duke of Edinburgh of all of his children. But separating William and Harry in this way has certainly attracted more attention than the palace would have liked. David.
James Longman, we'll see you first thing in the morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, for our coverage of the funeral. James, thanks. When we come back here tonight, that spring snowstorm, power lines down, and we remember tonight an actress from Harry Potter and Peaky Blinders.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The major spring snowstorm in much of the Northeast tonight, up to 10 inches of snow falling from upstate New York right up into Maine, Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Look at this, blanketed by snow. Heavy snow downing trees and power lines in Hillsborough, New Hampshire. Drivers also facing slippery road conditions for the commute home tonight. And snow at Fenway postponing tonight's Red Sox game. It is April in the Northeast. To the index of other news, a brief jolt in the skies over Washington, D.C. today. A pair of loud and low-flying F-22 Raptors startling many. As they flew over the National Mall, they even interrupted the White House press briefing. It was a flyover for the dedication of the new World War I memorial. We do have a passing to note tonight. Actress Helen McCrory has died after battling cancer. Known for her roles in Peaky Blinders and the Harry Potter movies, McCrory's husband, actor Damian Lewis, saying his wife died as she lived, fearlessly. Helen McCrory was 52. Finally tonight, Prince Philip and the Land Rover he helped design for his final journey. The words being played all over again. The Queen on Prince Philip on their 50th anniversary.
He has quite simply been my strength and stay all these years. And I and his whole family owe him a debt greater than he would ever claim or we shall ever know.
And tonight we've learned it was years ago Prince Philip helped design the special Land Rover that will now carry his coffin to the chapel tomorrow. He said that's how he wanted to be brought to his funeral. The prince, who served in the Royal Navy, insisted the Land Rover be the same color the military uses. And tonight, Prince Philip, in his own words, when asked about his legacy.
Would you go through life trying to make a legacy? No, I think to try and create a memorial to yourself while you're alive is slightly indecent, I think. I'd rather other people decided what legacy I'd left. I mean, life's going to go on after me, and if I can make life marginally more tolerable for people who come afterwards or even at the time, I'd be delighted.
And we'll be here 9:30 Eastern tomorrow morning for the funeral. We hope you'll have your coffee with us. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.